4.5 hours of water.
Oh, stupid thing.
Every night for probably 2 or 3 months.
Jeez.
I just thought, what was your water bill like?
That has nothing to do with
it. I'm on a well. City water for the house, but well for the irrigation. So, you know.
Well, it went right back down in.
Well, that's my theory of water shortage, and I'm still trying to figure out where has all that water gone.
Right under your foundation.
Which is okay. It keeps the clay buoyant. Oh, no, it's full. We'll get this one out. The pool had a small leak.
Now the pool had a leak?
Oh, yeah.
Oil was ready. All right, so we haven't heard from Andy? We don't know if he's going to? Probably not. All right, everybody ready? All right. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Would you please stand for the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Want to call the roll?
Yes, sir. Mr. Adams?
Present.
Mr. Batsell?
Here.
Mr. Gibney?
Here.
Some drinking water.
Here.
Mr. Howell is excused. Mr. Kesselring? Mr. Schott?
Here.
We have a quorum, sir.
Very good. All right. Can you read the agenda notes, please?
Yes. Cases heard by the Planning and Zoning Commission will be presented to City Council in accordance with the schedule provided after each case in the agenda. Please note that the City Council meetings will begin at 4 o'clock p.m. and are held at City Hall, City Council Chamber, second floor, located at 110 Southeast Wauwatula Avenue.
Thank you very much. Everybody have a chance to look over the minutes from last meeting, and if so, discussion or motion?
I'll move to approve.
Got a motion.
There's no discussion.
Got a motion for approval.
Second.
And a second from Mr. Schott. So call the roll.
Mr. Batsell?
Aye.
Mr. Schott?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. Moving right ahead to the PUD 12-0003.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, before you, are we going to do these separate or together?
We're going to do them separate, but I was going to preface it by saying that these are both related to the same piece of property. The first request is specifically to the portion, the second part is the zoning change from PUD 1 to R1 is specifically related to that piece of property, the 73-acre piece of property. The first is actually the change to the PUD ordinance to remove that from, essentially remove it from the PUD. So we'll do them separately.
Okay.
Again, the first case is PUD 12-03. 0003 for the Belchase subdivision, and it's to reduce the total site acreage and boundaries of the planned unit development by eliminating tracts H, I, and J from the PUD that are located in the southern southeastern corner here. And that's the specific piece of property. This property was annexed into the city, given a low-density residential designation, land use designation, in 2000. Subsequently, the zoning was changed from R1 in the city, R1 and A1 in the county, to residential PUD1 in October of 2001. The developer planned and constructed the biggest portion of a private gated subdivision that's entirely residential in character. It was to have a maximum of 585 residential units and would be on 590 acres. We did 163. The city did 163 developers development agreement, and it was approved in August of 2000. That was mostly for environmental concerns related to the aquifer and Roosevelt Cave, and the initial development proposal had a golf course included in it, so also to some of the related items to golf courses, specifically with the nitrates that would come off of fertilization of the golf course. The 163 is provided in your packet for informational purposes. It's not a part of this application under consideration this evening. The parcels that are developed are about, or not developed, but are platted, are account for a 470 of the 585 lots. Approximately 30% of the platted lots have been developed. The undeveloped portion, as you can see in the slides, heavily wooded with a mixture of trees, several species. And in the surrounding area, you have obviously the single family residential development of Bell Chase, and to the north and northwest, City of Ocala Emergency Wellfield, Roosevelt Village, and a drive-in to the east and north, and agriculture and residential uses to the south and southwest. And there was a 38-acre portion that was actually removed prior, that's right in that area to the southeast of the rectangular piece. This piece was never included, but this piece was. And this piece is actually in the city with an R1 zoning classification now. The development was an 11 parcel, four phase development. That's how it was planned initially. The sizes of the parcels from quarter acre lots to 1 acre lots, and commenced in 2001, was amended, like I said, to take the 38 acres out in 2003, had an amendment to the 163 developers agreement, and the seven of the phases were done in the four phases. The last phases that included HI and J were to be developed between 2008 and 2010, according to the original PUD. The applicant is proposing this amendment so that one single family dwelling unit could be developed on the site. Though that there would be other things potentially possible if we do this, if they met the subdivision rules, but that is the stated plan to staff. In terms of impacts to the infrastructure and city services, this would have an impact on traffic. It would lessen traffic that would be considered if the full 585 unit development was built. It will have no effect on the potable water services or sanitary sewer services that are available now. They're existing. Stormwater will still be held on site, and it would have less of an impact on the schools than it actually has now, if it were to develop. The land use designation will remain low density. That allows a maximum of 5 dwelling units to the acre. So taking it out of the PUD would raise potential for certain things to happen if it wasn't developed by the person who would put the single family house on it. It could be further subdivided once it's taken out of this PUD. But the first part of this is simply to remove that 73 acres from the PUD. Staff recommends approval of the request. Any questions?
Any questions for staff? Explain a little bit more about, you said that it could be used for other things.
Typically, when you, in a PUD, the PUD gets approved, and you agree to, you lock in your density, you lock in your housing styles and types, and your lot sizes, and then you get development flexibilities, other development flexibilities. When it was included in the PUD, that's what they had. Like I said, the stated purpose is that this would be one parcel, it would be developed as one single-family residence. There's not a guarantee that that will happen when this goes to R1. Now, it still would be, would have a limit of 5 units to the acre. They would, if it went to R1, they would have to come back and get an approval for a subdivision if someone wanted to do that. They'd have to go through that entire process, and they'd have to meet the R1 lot criteria, which is relatively large. So it's not likely that it would be much different than what was approved.
So the number of units you can get on there right now is probably going to be more than whatever would get there.
Yeah, when you take into consideration some of the geography, the topography and
retention
that's on it, yeah, retention that would have to go in, you wouldn't net that many units to the acre.
Real quickly, on parcel J, is that DRA already built?
Parcel J.
There's a big DRA that appears on the conceptual plan for one of the parcels that we would be eliminating. And was that just in the conceptual plan? Or I can wait and ask Mr. Roberts.
It's conceptual. It's not there.
Okay.
Excuse me, can you ask questions?
Not yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anything else?
I've got one question. Is that a second entrance into and out of the neighborhood that was planned?
That was a second planned entrance. The applicant it would not be constructed. There would have to be some acceptable turnaround for emergency services. Though there is actually one there that the radiuses are large enough on the I can't remember the name of the southernmost Osprey Point. There's actually a turnaround before the gate that meets the radius requirements for emergency vehicles now.
Okay. That was
and the traffic question. Numbers, the other thing about that is the traffic numbers don't warrant that access point.
Okay.
Okay, that it? Okay. Petitioner here?
Good evening. Fred Roberts, 333 Northwest 3rd Avenue, Ocala, 34475. How's everyone this evening? I represent the applicant, or as the agent for the applicant. In reality, I represent the owner, or excuse me, the proposed owner who will be acquiring this from the applicant, assuming they can get we can get this approved. The sole intent here is to have it removed from the PUD, to have the zoning change because the requirements of the PUD, the limitations set forth by the 163 agreement would limit the intended use. The intended use being to turn this into a single site residence with a very small agricultural component, being what would be classified under the new code, I think, as a hobby farm, which would allow a very limited number of horses. That's really the intent, is they'd like to buy this, build what in all likelihood would be a very nice home and a little riding arena, four stall barn. I mean, that's the truth of it. So that's really the end game intent and the reason for this to be removed. As it currently stands, this property was taken through the foreclosure process by First Tennessee Bank, First Horizon Home Loans, hence the name for the applicant. And they have simply, after certificate of title was issued, put it on the market for sale. And our client has it under contract to acquire it for that purpose and that purpose only. As to the potential for future development and other issues that go along with that, while that's always obviously the case with any property, if that was ever to come up, that would certainly be back before this panel should that ever be an issue. But that is definitively not up for discussion or on the table. And if these things don't get done so they can have a single site, you know, our client would really not have interest. That's the only, they have one purpose and one purpose only, is to make this a single site and what I would expect to be a very nice one that would fit very nicely with Bell Chase, although this will no longer be a part of Bell Chase, nor is it a part of Bell Chase now, and has no relation whatsoever in any way to the prior developer of Bell Chase or the current successor developer to Belle Chasse. So it is not a part of it. This is not a home builder. This is not going to be busted up into little parcels or lots. And I know that's always a concern when people see these applications come through, and I'm certain that there's some concern here in that regard tonight. And I just want to make that very clear and alleviate any concern in that regard, is that that is not going to be the intent here, and that is not going to take place in any way related to this particular. Any questions? I'd be happy to answer them. That was just kind
any
of
questions?
A concise statement.
Now, well, I know what the questions to be posed here tonight are, but I was just wondering about, you know, I know as the overall PUD, you know, a certain amount of drainage would be required, and I saw the DRA on lot or on parcel J. Is that an issue?
It will be completely different and unrelated. This site has some kind of unique characteristics to it. You know, I believe it was H&I, if recollection serves, were actually already in pre-plat and ready for final plat approval when things kind of, you know, went sour with the developer. And the drainage that we saw, you know, at the end, and just let me get my map for clarification here so that I can. H&I were to be developed. The proposed drainage, I think that you're talking about, Rob, Mr. Bassett, excuse me, being right here. Is it, if you see where the
Just east of that. Yeah, right there.
That is currently not there, obviously. This is a completely undeveloped and a natural site as it is. There's two low areas, really three low areas of substance on the property. One of them is currently encumbered by an easement in favor of St. John's River Water Management District. So that will be untouched, and that's at the southwest corner of the property where the cursor just was. This, what is shown as a DRA, is not a DRA, but it is a very low area. As it's going to be developed as a single site, there won't be the requirement for substantive drainage to be constructed and at large DRA to be put in place. The low areas themselves will serve as a DRA and will remain as such, I think, is has been the initial discussions. You know, the intent of the owner is to have a reputable land planner who I think most of us know, although I'll let the applicant disclose it when they come forward, just in case it's not who they hire, so I don't out them too early, but what I would consider like a landscape architect, frankly, to put together where the house is going to be topographically, what's appropriate. But there's a pretty large variation in the elevations of the property. There's, if you, when you look at it on the map, there's three low areas already, one being here, which is already kind of incorporated into a natural DRA that serves this, I believe it's Osprey Point, Osprey Ridge, whatever it is, that kind of smaller platted subdivision in the back of Belle Chasse. And so this, frankly, this area here is wet. It's underwater all the time, and you can see that. It's pretty evident when you drive through. This area is the statutory wetland, which is in place, and these areas, when you look at it on a topographical map, are, you know, 63 and 62 feet, where, you know, these areas here, which are the most likely for development, are at 92, 93, you know, so those areas will remain low and be sort of the natural drainage area, I would anticipate. But there is no plan, and I don't think there would be, to do anything maybe other than clean out natural wet areas to allow them just for beautification purposes, because there won't be any drainage issues with developing the relatively small ratio of the area which will be used for the actual home site, for a barn area, driveways, those kind of things. It'll be a relatively light intensity compared to what was contemplated under the previous plan. It would be nowhere near one versus the other. So.
Any more questions?
Very good. If there's any questions the audience raises, I'd be happy to answer them and get them cleared up tonight.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, at this point, we'll open it up to public discussion. So if anybody has anything to say for or against, step forward and state your name and address for the record.
My name is Stacy Begal, 4944 Southeast 7th Avenue in Belchase. I just have a couple of questions, and maybe this group can answer it, gentlemen can, but how does the removal of this PUD affect our homeowners? In other words, was somebody paying into the fees? Will our fees go up?
I don't think we can answer that. Maybe.
I can address that. Do you have any questions now, or are you going to address it kind of all at once?
Do you have any more questions, or is that kind of the main one?
Well, that was one of them. And the other one, the real concern, I think I speak for a lot of my people that I know in a development, is that what this gentleman said and what this gentleman said about the property being a single unit. And then this gentleman made a comment that offer some other uses. I think you answered it, but that was a concern. Will it only be a single? Because when we received this notice in the mail, it really concerned me personally because it said you own property within 300 feet of the subject property. Can somebody explain that? What exactly does that mean? So I went outside and I looked 300 feet to my east and west and north and south, and I'm going, okay, are they putting up apartments 300 feet from me? So that was just a note about this letter that went out. It's very confusing and concerning.
Okay. Well, I mean, did you get those answered? Those questions answered?
Well, the 300 feet never really got answered.
The 300 feet is the notification requirements that we have. So we notify all property owners who are within 300 feet of the subject property, which is the property, that piece of property. So
correct.
If you're in 300 feet of that piece of property, we notify you by letter.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm within 300.
So you're within 300 feet of that.
Well, that's probably about a mile.
We notified everyone in Belchase?
We did everybody.
Okay.
It's confusing. I'm a mile away, and I'm going, you know, okay. But the real issue was how the impacts, the fees get impacted, if they do, and the single usage, and, you know, that was my questions. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Roberts can maybe answer the HOA question.
Certainly valid concerns and ones that I would cheer. And I've actually fielded quite a few phone calls from people in Belchase, which are more than merited. As to the single use, certain, like, for any vacant piece of property could potentially be subject to other uses. This one is only going to be used for one purpose, a single site residential development. However, if it was to be used for any purpose other than residential development, it would require to come, obviously, back before this board, for the city, before city staff, which would not be done quietly or in the night. This change in and of itself does not in any way allow any other purpose other than just this sort of very limited one. So that concern, you know, hopefully is one that's been somewhat alleviated, you know, in that regard. As to homeowners associations and things like that, this property is not technically, nor was it ever a part of Belchase. It is not a part of Belchase. It has never been a part of Belchase. It was originally owned by the same developer and made a part of the planned unit development that was to be Belchase. But it was, for whatever reason, never incorporated into Belchase as of yet. Now, likely that would have happened had the real estate market stayed what it was for two or three more years. It would have been. It would have been platted. It would have been vacant lots. And those would have been developer-owned vacant lots. But as it currently stands, this property is not subject to the declaration of covenants and restrictions for Belchase. It's not subject to the association. It's not, so it'll have no impact whatsoever
on the association at all. It's not like we're taking something out, but that is certainly a viable concern and one that I would share as well.
Right, it looked a little bit.
So that one should not have any impact.
Okay.
That'd be all developer control.
Very good, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All righty, anyone else?
My name's Murray Walker. I live at 584 Southeast 42nd Street in Ocala, 34480, which is in Belchase. This used to, that area there, that little road used to be the construction entrance to Belchase when things were quite prosperous and they were building quite a bit. It did close down, but it was always available as a backup means of getting in and out of Belchase. Right now, we only have one entrance to Belchase. And if for some reason something happened there, a large tree fall down, who knows what could happen, a sinkhole develop or something like that, there's no other entrance into Belchase. And I guess that would be one of the concerns of mine, because this could have always been used as a backup entrance and exit out of there until the other system would have been repaired if there would have been an accident or some natural phenomenon.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Jacqueline Brown. I own property at 1911 Southeast 52nd Street. In terms of the map, it's the far right-hand corner of the little notch. And there's a single house there on approximately an acre. So I think our concerns or questions would be, what about the buffer? When it was the Belchase sort of thing, it was 50 to 75 feet, depending on where the property owner resided, so that there is some protection. And the consideration towards the vegetation, again, for privacy and to maintain a bucolic setting. And in terms of the drainage, I really didn't understand all of it. It sounded as though there might be some modification when it goes to this new kind of zoning. But I'm just concerned, not alarmed, I'm just asking about drainage, because with horses, who are terrific and I love them, affecting the, for example, we have a well. So any drainage that would come from the barns and so forth, or pesticides that might be used, and what protections there would be and where the drainage would actually go. And then my last question would be, where exactly the entrance and exit would be proposed.
Well, without a site plan to see, you know, what they're proposing, based on what we've heard of being a single family residence, I would have to assume that you should be more than happy that this is what's going to take place as opposed to what could have taken place there as far as your buffer concerns and things like that are concerned. So, but again, without a site plan, I can't really tell you exactly where all that's going to be, but I would think that, They're going to want to have as many trees and vegetation between you and them as you want between you and them. So,
be wonderful.
So
yeah.
Anyway.
All right, then. Thank you very much.
You going to add something?
Now, Pete, what is the standard buffer for R1?
Single family to single family, there's no buffer requirement.
There isn't.
No, but there isn't. With the animal schedule, we did put a distance requirement in between fields and where residences were.
Okay. Bob Rossman, 1441 Southeast 52nd Place. I live in McIntyre Acres, right across the street. Actually, my house is not even going to be affected because the buffer zone is right there. What I'm worried about, number one, sewer line coming in there, will that be within 200 feet of my house? A sewer line coming through to that development, number one. Number two, if they're going to be hobby farms, like he's stated, 10 acres, so they can get an ag discount, will they be able to break those up sometime down the road when a father comes up, says my daughter needs to live on the property, will they be able to break those units up into even smaller units?
Well, first, as far as the sewer issue goes, I don't think they're going to need to require any kind of sewer to run to the property. I mean, Pete, correct me if I'm wrong.
Existing sewer.
Yeah, so nothing new there.
So the lines are, well, because with all the things coming up with septic tanks, if there's a line within 200 feet of my house, I'll have to hook up to it at my expense. That's why I'm curious on that.
Okay. So nothing new there, I guess. And as far as, them, splitting up down the road to a family member? I mean, you know, obviously that's possible. I mean, I don't think there's any way you could stop them from doing that.
Okay.
But again, you know, I think it's, you're looking at potentially having 100 houses in there as opposed to a few hobby farms is what you're kind of looking at, I guess, you know, so.
Well, I disagree with hobby farms because I know for an ag discount, you put your horses on there, you get your 10 acres, and you get your cheaper property taxes, mine go up. Well, it's the government also stated to those poor people in, what, Shady Road, they'd never put a entrance to I-75. You know, I promised them up, right, and down, and what's going in now, an entrance to I-75. So I'm just trying to get as much info as possible.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Hi. My name is Fritz Will at 636 Southeast 47th Loop in Belle Chasse. And I mean, I'm a simple-minded man. I'm just surprised that somebody's going to put up a hobby farm in a wooded area like this, where you can buy property here in this area for probably a lot less money. Second, I'm not sure who even owns that property right now. As far as I know, Belle Chasse is in foreclosure, and I don't even know who owns it right now. I mean, I live there. I have never received any information that there is a new owner who owns those lots that used to belong to Boyd and who takes care of the homeowners association. You're paying in, but we don't even know what's happening. So I would like to know, from whom are you buying the property?
Well, from what I've gathered, it's owned by the bank, First Horizon Home Loans, correct? And it was never part of Belle Chasse, so, you know, there's, you know, so as a homeowner, as far as homeowner association things, you wouldn't have gotten notified, that type of thing, so that's why you wouldn't have known. It was not a part of Belle Chasse, according to Mr.
Well,
Roberts.
That surprises me, because that second entrance was the reason why we actually bought in there. Second entrance is very important, especially in emergencies. It was always considered to being built, that something is going to be built there. This is the first time I hear that it does not belong to Belle Chasse. But
I guess the confusion is that at one time, originally, it was all part of the master community,
yes,
and it was supposed to be, but it was done in separate tracts and separate parcels, and this one was kind of, correct me if I'm wrong again, Mr. Roberts, but this one was never technically included into the neighborhood. Exactly.
Right. It's a two-step process.
It was planning on being, but it wasn't there yet. So that's kind of where all that happened.
Well, like I said, you know, if I would spend money, I just can't figure out why somebody is going to put up a hobby farm in this wooded area. It just, for some reason, it doesn't sound right.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Denise Rossman, and I live at 1441 Southeast 52nd Place in Mackateer Acres. My concern is, if this property is not going to, it's just going to have one single house with some barns, some animals, and it was plotted out to have multiple, was it plotted out before that to have multiple houses on 1 acre tracts in that area?
It was never platted that way, but yeah, I think that was the intention, yes.
Well, I've lived there since 1991, and when we first moved in, we knew there were caves there. We knew there was running water. You could hear it. Since Belle Chasse has been in there, I think they filled in some caves and covered up some wetlands. I'm sure, like the gentleman said, there's still water that's there all the time. If you're going to have one person or one homeowner with one house, one farm, and they would have an ag discount, would that then encourage the city to then annex Mackateer Acres into the city because you're getting less revenue? because we've always been part of incorporated Marion County and not part of the city. And unfortunately, nothing against the city of Ocala, but we moved there for that reason. We didn't want to be in the city. But for 19 years, all we've heard about is you're next in line to be annexed in. And if you have one low tax revenue, because it's an ag discount, as opposed to multiple families, would you be more likely then to annex us in? Or everyone on the other side, my property, I own two houses, and our property borders Southeast 52nd Street.
I guess two parts of that question, I guess. I don't think that one piece of property is going to make that big of a difference as far as the total tax rolls are concerned. And second of all, I think you have to petition the city to be annexed in.
Yeah, it's most likely that you would volunteer to be annexed into the city. Typically, the way that would happen is that you would need water and sewer if your well or your septic tank failed. You may petition to annex if it was available to you. The other way that it's done is by referendum. It's not likely that we would annex you unless you wanted to be annexed.
Oh, okay. Well, I was under the impression that people were annexed in all the time and they didn't come to the city and say, we want to be part of the city. The city says, we need more revenue. We're going to take this piece of Marion County and we're putting you in. So, I mean, I think I wouldn't have a say-so if you decided McAteer Acres is going to be part of the city. We're all part of the county, but I don't want to be part of the city.
No.
Although my taxes do pay for parts for buildings that don't produce a revenue in the city, such as the library, things like that. So, I wouldn't come and participate, ask you to be, I don't want to be annexed.
Well, the city can't just come and annex you without everybody wanting to be annexed. I mean, obviously you live in a subdivision. Now, I think if the subdivision as a whole wanted to be annexed, then they would have to take a vote. And
it would be likely to be a referendum then.
Yes.
And 51% of the people would have to vote if they want to be annexed.
Your neighbors could force you into the city, but the city can't force
you
into the city.
There you go.
Well, thank you. That clears up a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Murray Walker again. I have one question. I'm not sure it's related to this petition or not, but the gentleman here, did you say that all the stormwater in Bell Chase is self-contained within the property?
Yes, sir. The stormwater facilities were built for each phase of the subdivision as the subdivision went in.
Okay. I guess my question is I wonder why, since that was by the developer, and of course we jointly own all the community property there and so forth, why we pay the city every month for stormwater.
Those are all private facilities. You're still paying the stormwater surcharge. Maybe you still pay.
I mean, it's a service we don't get from the city since it's all self-contained.
It's stormwater for the city of Ocala, not
just
Bell
because
Chase.
You live within the city.
Yeah, you live in the city, so we all pay stormwater.
That's what I thought, but I just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay. I'm going to close off the public portion and bring it back up to the board for discussions or motions.
I heard a number of comments about the secondary entrance and security aspect to that. Maybe Mr. Roberts can answer up. I was under the impression there was a secondary construction entrance at the northwest end of the property.
There was originally. What really went into the consideration of staff during this, during considering the access point, was how wide this access point is. It's sufficiently wide that it was our feeling that a tree or an accident was not likely to block this entire entrance. And this development has the number of the 30% of the lots that are developed, the total, and it's functioning and with one access point. And we just felt that the width, really, of the opening was sufficient.
the staff has looked at that and even fully built out, you're comfortable with
we
the
are.
Single access point.
Yes.
And it actually, we actually went to the site with staff, shot, and there, you know, one thing that might give some comfort is that, like, the emergency access and the concern. It's actually, you know, obviously a two-lane, there's actually two separate roads that serve Belchase. Now, they do share a similar access point. There's just a very large curb cut at 475, but it's actually two separate and distinct roads for emergency access purposes. You know, the thing about this, the secondary access and this property, there is no common ownership now. From a legal standpoint, that was a concern that we had for our client. Is this going to be something that we're going to have to deal with? And going through this entire process, you know, the reality of it and the bank's position is, and one I have to agree with, we don't have any shared ownership with the developer. And just in the same manner, we couldn't sell this to Adams Homes, no relation to Mr. Adams, but if we couldn't sell it to Adams Homes and they could turn around and say, we want to go through Belchase, the same way Belchase can't say to the bank, we want to come through your property or to whoever you sell it to. So, you know, that puts it in, from a legal perspective, a little bit of a tough spot for either developer if one wanted to use the other. They're just unrelated. It would fall into, like, kind of an exaction taking realm if the city said, you got to do it, and vice versa.
But from our perspective, we could say, tell whoever owns the property, you're part of the PUD, and unless there's a secondary access point, this needs to stay part of the PUD, right?
You conceivably could require this to be stay part of the PUD, that's correct, and it could then be developed in accordance with the PUD, but that would not, there's nothing in the PUD that I'm aware of, there's nothing in the development agreement. The only thing in the PUD relating to a secondary access is a master plan showing, you know, a road, but there was, you know, it was never dedicated, it was never platted, so it was never really legally addressed in any way, and, you know, any attempt to grant rights from one person to another at the requirement of the city would probably, like I said, I don't represent the bank, so this isn't really my fight. It's sort of our request is this kind of, we'd like it to go this way so that we can proceed, but, you know, in reality, if the city said, no, property owner, you've got to grant, you know, public access or some semi-public access, you know, that may be a problem for the bank, may not, I don't know, but I don't think that there's a legal right short of the city, you know, taking that position of forcing a property owner's hand to dedicate for someone else's benefit.
Well, what I hear staff saying is that's not necessary.
That's what staff's saying, yeah.
And the just if I may, while I've now jumped in here and opened my big mouth, can I just take a brief second to just address a couple of these, I think. No, get at it. There's the hook. You know, secondary access is one. That's, you know, obviously, you know, understood, but it's sort of the position that we're in. Drainage. The drainage on this site would obviously, the intent would be just like any other home site, especially one 75 acres, you know, would be the drainage would be a zero net impact offsite. It would be all, you know, all retained, and there are sufficient area to, I think, do that from all of our conversations with engineers that we've dealt with so far on this project. Buffering, as I think was pointed out by this panel, it'll be our clients, likely their intent to buffer for their own benefit and for the benefit of their neighbors, but a buffer will be maintained, is my understanding, of their own volition, regardless of requirement. Sewer, that question came up. This property is already encumbered by a water and sewer easement in favor of the city of Ocala, as well as a lift station there that serves all of Belchase. That remains in place. So for water and sewer services for this site, there's more than sufficient capacity that the city already has on this particular property. So there will be no additional need, speaking with the utilities regarding this site. The current owner, we'd already pointed out, Mr. Grinder pointed out, is First Horizon Home Loans, and that was done through foreclosure. The reason why it's separate and apart from the rest of Belchase is it was encumbered by a completely separate mortgage for whatever reason, which is above my pay grade on this particular project. They encumbered this, completely separate from the rest of El Chase, and this was foreclosed completely separate. So that's how First Horizon Home Loans came to be. So hopefully that answers some of the questions, concerns, and any others. We'll do our very best to get alleviated tonight before everybody leaves.
All right.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay. Back up here to the board.
I'll make a motion to approve as presented by staff.
All right. Second. We got a motion for approval. And a second. Anybody got anything to add? Everybody good? Okay. All right, call the roll.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Mr. Batzel?
Aye.
Mr. Schott?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, then now same property, now the zoning change, ZON 12-0009.
Yes, as it's been removed from the PUD, now this property has to be rezoned. The request is to rezone 73.69 acres low density residential. This is consistent with low density residential land use designation as, or R1 in low, I'm sorry, to rezone it as R1, single family residential district, which is consistent with the low density residential land use designation as stated in the comprehensive plan, future land use element policy 1.1.1. The density and character of the R1 district is compatible with the surrounding residential and agricultural uses. The request is consistent with the comprehensive plan, future land use element policy 2.5, which requires that all development have adequate services and facilities, including water, roads, sewer, stormwater, drainage, recreation, and solid waste disposal. Again, the location is the southeast end of Bell Chase with frontage on 52nd Street, Southeast 52nd Street, and it's it was parcels H, I, and J of the original PUD. The zoning, again, was changed from R1 in the city, R1 and A1 in the county, to PUD1 in 2001. All of the infrastructure is existing. The land use designation allows a maximum of 5 units per acre. The existing PUD district is intended, as I said before, to promote more flexibility of design, more economical and efficient use of the land, and locks you in on types of dwelling units and lots that you are allowed. The requested single family residential is intended to preserve the existing single family homes and to provide new areas for low to moderate density development. And staff recommends approval.
Any questions for staff?
Thanks.
Okay. Would the petitioner like to say anything more about this one?
I've got about 15 minute presentation for you.
Fred Roberts, 333 Northwest 3rd Avenue. Just one thing that I don't think I was very clear about that I think I heard a couple of times was relating to the term hobby farm that I used, just for point of clarification. That is only used to the extent that is what, how we came to the decision with staff to which direction to go as far as a zoning change to R1. Hobby farm is a new term, I think, that's been included into the code. To just give a name to the landowner who doesn't need an A1 zoning classification, doesn't want to go down that road, but simply would like to have horses, and they have more than 5 acres as is required by the code, that kind of thing. And that's just a moniker put on it. There's no intent for this to be what, you know, I would more, you know, a hamlet farm type scenario, or lots of gentleman farms or anything like that. You know, a hobby farm is just a moniker from the code. And it's not the intent for this to really be a farm, a working farm, an operating farm, lots of farms. It's really just used in that to say the R1 zoning classification would allow some limited livestock to be maintained on the property, in this case, hunter jumper horses. So that's all. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Open back up to the public. Again, if you guys want to get up and say anything. Nobody? Okay, we'll close that off and bring it back to the board. Discussions, motions?
Motion to approve.
Have a motion for approval?
Second.
And a second. And if no further discussions, call the roll.
Mr. Schott?
Aye.
Mr. Betzel?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, and I see that the code amendment was tabled, postponed till the next meeting, so. Anybody else got anything to add? No? All right, then meeting's adjourned.
Very well done, thank you, sir.
I'm watching out by 6:30.
Keep those damn sign people out of the room.
That's the problem.
Yeah, really. We could keep the sign stuff limited and teach Fred to talk less, he'd be out here in no time.
Yeah. Fred is all drank.
Exactly.